Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chav Tes, the last daf of the second parak and first daf of the third parak of Meseches Sukkah. We are holding out the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches of the base station here, sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also by Henry Orlinsky, Leila Nishmas, his father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, whose yard site is this Shabbos, and his neshama Shav and Aliyah, special zechus for his neshama that one of his grandchildren just made Aliyah yesterday, so Mazel Tov on the Aliyah. Also sponsored by the Virtual Halacha Program, which under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level and even get smicha whenever you can and wherever you are. Visit vhalacha.com for more information, and also by Alvin Siegel on the yard site of his mother Esther Bas Tzvi Elimelech HaKohen. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis is going to talk about how a person is supposed to treat his sukkah throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkot, that you make that your Diras Kevan. It's going to talk about what happens when it rains on Sukkot, and then the Gemara is going to discuss what types of kelim one should bring in the sukkah, what types of learning one should do in the sukkah, and if then we're going to talk about if you went inside on account of rain, when do you have to go back out, and when can you say, you already went inside, so you might as well stay inside. Then in the middle of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about Simane Klala of rain on Sukkot and of the sun looking differently, that sometimes there's a Simon Klala in certain events that happen. And then we're going to have four different, the parak's going to conclude with four different sets of four cases for each of a variety of Puranas, meaning we're going to say that a particular Puranas happens because of four different things, and we're going to say four different types of Puranas that each happen on account of four different things. So that's going to bring us to the end of the second Perek, and then Bez Hashem we begin Perek Lulav HaGazel, where the Mishnah talks about if a person has a problematic Lulav, but it starts with a stolen and a dried out Lulav, and the Gemara is going to talk about why a stolen and a dried out Lulav are puzzle for the entirety of Sukkot, and not only for Yom Rishon, not only for the first day. So let's see the Mishnah. Kol Shavu Seyam Madam throughout the entire 7 days of Sukkot, he should make his sukkah his permanent residence and his house only a temporary place that he goes to visit once in a while. If it starts to rain, at what point can you say, okay, it's time to leave the sukkah? It's when the porridge becomes ruined from the rain. An unusual thing, the Mishnah gives a mashal, doesn't just tell us a halacha, it says that if it rains, it's as if an Eved is coming to be Mosei Kos L'Rabbo, is coming to pour a cup for his master, and he pours the pitcher on his face. The Gemara is going to discuss who pours the pitcher on whose face. What's that all about? But that's the basic halacha of rain. The reason that when it's raining, one is pater from sukkah, most Rishonim write, is because of Mitzarim. Mitzarim is pater min sukkah, and that's what the Poskim quote as well. However, some of the Achronim are medayek from the Ritva in Chav Tes Amud Aleph, that the reason is not based on Mitzarim. The fact that you're allowed to leave your sukkah is because you read those Keshamim, is the mashallah evit shabalim zokos the rabbi v'shalach rabbo kiton alpanav. It's as if the master is saying, I'm not interested in your service. So if the master is not interested in our service, we got to get out of the sukkah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us in the sukkah. So based on that, the Ritva is mechadish that if there is if something happens al yidei adam, then there is no shir mishatis rachamakva. It's only when the person feels a sense of tsar, meaning if there's some other condition that was brought about by human intervention, wasn't brought about by something divine like rain out of nowhere, so then it's there would be no heter to leave the sukkah because it's not the rabbo being mozig lo kos. There are rishonim that say that lahepach, that before tishra chamakva you're never allowed to leave even when you're mitzta'er, because since you already started to eat, if you leave as soon as you're mitzta'er, it's as if you're not interested in the sukkah, and that's why you need to wait even past the point of mitzta'er. So three opinions: either tishra chamakva is the definition of tsar, or the tishra chamakva is pre-tsar, it's before a person feels tsar, but tishra chamakva just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in our service, or tishra chamakva is beyond tsar, and a person has to stay longer than mitzta'er. Pashtus is that it's just an example of mitzta'er. Rashi writes that Geshamim is simen klala b'chag, so it sounds like throughout all of the sukkahs, the Geshamim is simen klala. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, writes that Geshamim at the beginning of Sukkot is Siman Klala, so which makes it sound like only on Yom Tov Rishon, where there's a chiyuv to actually eat in the Sukkah, if you're you can't choose not to eat, so that's when we say it's a Siman Klala. So some of the Achronim point out this Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, maybe Taliyah the Machlokas Rishonim, whether there's a chiyuv achila on Lel Yom Tov Rishon, even if it's raining. Because if you're going to say that there's a chiyuv even when it's raining on Lel Yom Tov Rishon, so the Gesham is not a Siman Klala, because you're still able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah at the time that it's raining. So the Siman Klala must be not something special about the first night. There's nothing different about the first night. Yeah, you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah anyway. It applies by all of Yom Tov. But if there's no chiyuv even on Laila HaRishon, Tidin the Sukkah when it's raining, so it could be that it's Siman Klala only when there's a chiyuv achila. And we know the chiyuv achila, Tesvav, we learn from Chag HaMatzos, there's a chiyuv achila on the first night. You can't choose not to have a meal on the first night. But if you hold like those Rishonim, that you're putter from Sukkah when it's raining, even on the first night, then it's going to turn out that you're missing out on that chiyuv achila. And therefore it makes sense that the first night is going to be distinguished from the rest of Yom Tov. Others say, Adraba, Geshamim is Siman Klala only on the rest of Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov Rishon, because Siman Bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us more schar, because he's going to make us do a mitzvah mitoch tzar. Meaning, if you hold that you're supposed to eat in the Sukkah on the first night, even if it's raining, and just not the rest of the days of Yom Tov, so then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us is giving us an opportunity that we get to do a mitzvah, even Merov Tzar, on the first night of Yom Tov. So that's how some of the Achronim understand. Now, the Achronim also point out that this is only in Eretz Yisrael, that all of the Simen of Yeridus Geshamim is in Eretz Yisrael, where it's not normal for it to rain during that season. But in Chutz La'aretz, a lot of times, that's just when it rains. In October, it rains a lot. So that's not a Simen Klala. It just means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olam Kimin Hagel Noeg. There's no Simen. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just the normal Derech HaTeva that it's going to rain. Now, what about sitting in the Sukkah when it's raining? Meaning the Mishnah says that Yarduk Shamayim say Mutter Livnos. When is it Mutter to leave? Do you have to leave when it rains? So the Rishonim discuss this. Some of the Rishonim, and this is quoted by the Ramah, say that it's included in what the Yerushalmi tells us, Kalapatam and Adavar Voseu Nikra Hedyot, that if a person is Patam from something and he does it anyway, he's called a Hedyot. And even though it's not Aser, there's no Isser be Yeshiva B'Sukkah, but he's a Hedyot, meaning it's a Hedyot is not a compliment. It's saying that he's acting like a simple-minded person. Rav Shachter points out the etymology of Hedyot is probably the similar etymology to where the English word idiot comes from. That a very simple-minded person who's going to stay in the Sukkah when it's raining. So it's a Chasidus Shal Shtus, the Yosef Omitz writes. Many of the Achronim, however, particularly in the Chasidish world, say that no, there's still a mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah. If you sit in the Sukkah when it's raining and you mevarich, well, if you're mevarich, Pashtus is brach levatala, because there's no kiyum mitzvah, certainly according to what the Ramah says. Because if there's no kiyum mitzvah and you're saying a bracha, that would certainly seem to qualify as a brach levatala. You could only be machmir to be mekayim a mitzvah if there's some kiyum involved. But many poskim hold that Laila Rishon Shel Chag HaSukkos, you need to eat a kezayis even if it's raining in the Sukkah. So that we do have in Shulchan Aruch. And the first night, it's going to be different. However, there's a whole other group of Achronim that say that a mitzta'er, b'yeshivasu b'tzukkah, with a tzar that's not because of rain, and he wants to be machmir and sit in the Sukkah anyway, in such a case, he's not called a hedyot, and he's allowed to be machmir on such a thing. Meaning that it's not that when the Mishnah, when the Ramah writes that if you sit in the Sukkah when it's raining, he's nikra hedyot. That's dafka by rain, because that's where it's ka adon sheshovich kiton al panav. That's where the Mishnah is telling us you're really not supposed to be there. It's Hashem telling us to get out of the sukkah. But if stam a person is a mitzayir and he pushes himself anyway, maybe that's a worthwhile chumrah. Because the issue when it's raining is that it's a violation of yuara, and that's why you're considered a hedyot. But mitzayir, it's not everyone realizes that you're mitzayir. It's not nikr lekol, and therefore it may not be a violation of yuara. The Eliyahu Rabba in Tav Reish Amtes quotes based on your Ben Yeruchim that patur min ha-sukkah because of rain. And nevertheless, eating the sukkah, it's a machlokas whether you could say a bracha. You quote some that say you can even say a bracha even when it's raining in the sukkah. And the Matta Ephraim writes that a charid al dvar Hashem and his nafsho aguma alav, a person has more tsar leaving the sukkah than staying in the sukkah, even though it's raining. So he's allowed to eat in the sukkah even in the rain. That's what the Tshuvas Minchas Alazim Chelik Dalit Siman Lamed Aleph writes, that the midag may have a seinu for Rabbi Seinu Hakadoshim Dorach Hadar Mitalmidei Abesh. That Chassidim from Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, they sit in Sukkah Shivus Yimei HaChag, even if it rains, Chas V'Shalom. Even if it rains, Chas V'Shalom. Meaning they understand that it's Kadon Shofech Kiton Al Panav, but nevertheless they stay in the Sukkah even if it rains. And they work with that idea that it's more of a tsar for them to leave the Sukkah than it is for them to stay in the Sukkah, presuming that the rain issue is an issue of tsar. But again, the Pashas is what the Rama writes, that if you stay in the Sukkah when it's raining, that one is Nikra Hedyot. Okay, says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shivus Yamadvos Sukkos Keva Ubeisa Arai. Ketzad, for the entire 7 days, you treat your sukkah as your primary residence. Your house is only a temporary place. So what does that mean? Practically, what does that mean? Hayelo kelim na'im, if you have nice kelim malin l'sukkah, bring them into the sukkah. Matzos na'os malin l'sukkah. You have nice mattresses or cushions, bring those into the sukkah. Ochel v'shosu metayel b'sukkah. You eat, you drink, you hang out in the sukkah. Minani mili, titan rabbanan teishvu. So we darshin ke'ein taduru. Mikanam that you should treat your sukkah like the way you would a normal residence, and therefore it should be the makum keva where you're supposed to be, and your house is only a place of temporary residence. Ketzad, hayilo kelim noyim malin l'sukkah. You have nice kelim, bring them to the sukkah. Matzos noyim malin l'sukkah. Ochel v'shosu metayel b'sukkah, like we said. And then we add something else in this braisa. Umishanim b'sukkah. And you should also learn in the sukkah. So it says, Mara, eini v'amarav v'mikra misra v'metalalta v'tani bar v'metalalta. But didn't we learn in a braisa that it depends what you're learning to do Torah Shabbat and to learn Mishnayis that people know Baal Peh? You should do that in the sukkah, but v'tanui, meaning to learn bi'iyun, to learn shas, to explain the different statements of the Amoraim that are based on Dikdukim, Rashi points out, being medayik from the Mishnah, what we call Gemara learning, that should be Barmi Mutalalta, says Mara Lokasha. Habimigras Habi'iyune. It's not a stira. There are two types of learning, that if it's to just clarify the Gemara, to just know it fluently, so that you need to stay in the Sukkah for. But Bi'iyune, if a person is going to have to focus a lot harder, if a person has to work harder on his focus on the Sugya, so then that could be bar mitalalta. That could be outside of the sukkah. Says Gemara, ki adaran bar chama, ki avakaymi mekaymi derav chista merati b'gemara badi adadi vader ma'ini b'svara. And the Gemara says, yeah, that's what they used to do by Rava and Rami bar chama. That's what the Masoras Shas changes the gears to on the side, that Rava and Rami bar chama, when they were in front of Rav Chista, they would run through the sukkahs really fast together with each other, and then they would be ma'ayin b'svara. Then they would look into, they would start analyzing the sugya in more detail. It's interesting. Sometimes the Gemara sort of clues us in on what the derech halimud was, meaning a lot of times people aren't sure what's the proper derech halimud in learning. The Gemara says what the derech halimud is, that they would learn through sugyas very quickly. They would learn through the entire, get a big picture, a broad picture of all the sugyas that were there, and then they would have the tools with which to be ma'ayin. But you can't be ma'ayin if you don't know anything yet. So they would first develop a significant amount of knowledge, and then they would be ma'ayin. It looks like the Zoom conked out over here. I feel bad. Amarava mani mishtiya b'metalalta. The kelim that you drink with should be in the sukkah. Mani michla bar b'metalalta. The kelim that you eat with should be outside of the sukkah. Rashi says, what are mani michla? Ka'aros la'acha shachl ben tzorach lotzien. The plates, after you finish eating, you have to get them out of the sukkah. Tosos says, no, not the plates after you eat. V'yesh mefarshim says, Tosos kugon kideros v'agni delisha. We're talking about pots and pans and kneading bowls. And the reason is, ke'en taduru, and that you don't normally have that stuff in your dining room. So that's why it would be considered bar mitzvah. That's why you would take it out of the sukkah. So it would not be ke'ein taduru in the sukkah. Chatzba v'shachil bar mitzvah. If you have a pottery pail or a wooden basket, then it goes outside of the sukkah. V'sharga b'metalalta. A candle goes in the sukkah. V'amrila bar mitzvah. And some say, no, the candle should be outside of the sukkah. I'm just going to get back on the Zoom here. That it should be outside of the sukkah. We're back. Thank you. Sorry about that, all the Zoomers. I'm mute. Okay, sorry about that, everybody. We're back. Okay, so v'lo pligi habasuka gadola habasuka katana, and there's not really a machlokas. It depends whether we're talking about a sukkah gadola or a sukkah katana. So if you look in Tosos v'amrila barmi metalalta, so Tosos points out that the candle is different than the other items that we mentioned. He says the money demichla, especially if you hold that it means plates and bowls and spoons, that only means you get it out of the sukkah after you finish eating them. Candle seems to be something that you should never have in the sukkah. Tosfos points out that the Gemara discusses what do you do if you show that you're finished with sukkah on the last day, in order to show that Shvi Shalchag, you finish eating, so you're not allowed to take down the sukkah, because if you have another suda, you're going to have to eat it in the sukkah, but you're morid the kelim in a mincha lemaila for kavod yom, that you're showing that you're preparing for Shmini Atzeres, so you're bringing all the kelim to the place where you're going to eat that night. But the Gemara says, and what if you don't have a place to bring all the kelim to? You don't have a spot available to be able to bring the kelim on Yom Tov Achron, and you need to utilize the sukkah. So how are you going to demonstrate that you're not being mosif ala mitzvah by staying in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Normally it's a problem to stay in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. It's paltosif. So what are you going to do? So Gemara says, you light a candle in the sukkah. Makes it sound like lighting a candle in the sukkah was something that they normally wouldn't do at all. So it tells us it must be that because it's a sukkah katana, it was dangerous to light a candle. So it was something that they wouldn't typically do, that they wouldn't want to take that risk of lighting a candle in the sukkah. That's a shaila that comes up all the time. Maybe we'll discuss it when we get to that sugya on Daf Mem Ches, but the shuls very often have a sukkah up, and then they have a Simchas Torah Kiddush. So Simchas Torah, in Chosar, we sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres because it's fake a diyoma. But Simchas Torah is either Shmini Atzeres or the day after. So that's baltosif to be in the sukkah. So they need to utilize the space where the sukkah is. So what do you do about it in order to apostle the sukkah to show that it's not baltosif? Okay, yardu gishamim. Let's say it rains on sukkah. So tana mishu tisrach hamikvah shel grisin. When we said that if it ruins your food, it means tisrach hamikvah shel grisin, like a porridge type of food. Abaya v'kiyosef kamed Rav Yosef v'metalalta. Abaya was sitting in front of Rav Yosef in the sukkah. Nashav zikov v'kamaisi tzivusa. The wind blew in some pieces of schach started coming down. So Amar Luhu Rav Yosef, Panuli Mani Mehacha. Rav Yosef said, let's get out of here. Take all my kelim out of here. So Amar Abai Vatanan Mishnah Tishach Mitzvah. That's not what the Mishnah says. Mishnah doesn't say when a few pieces of schach start coming down. It says when the porridge gets ruined. It's not at that point. Amar Leila Didi Kibin Dani Datai Kimishnah Tishach Mitzvah Damili. He says, well, I'm an istinis, and therefore for me this rises to that level of tzar that I'm no longer required to be in the sukkah. Tan Rabbanan. If a person was eating in the sukkah, so it started to rain, so yarad, whenever the Mishnah talks about leaving the sukkah, it always talks about yarad, because the sukkahs were typically on the rooftops, so we would say v'yatza, right? You left the sukkah. But if your sukkah's on the roof, it meant you went back down into the apartment inside the house. So v'yarad, he left the sukkah. You don't have to go check every 30 seconds to see if it's still raining, see if it's if the sukkah is usable. You could finish the suda. You don't have to, we're not a matriach person to go back and forth. Similarly, if you were sleeping in the sukkah and it started to rain, so therefore you left the sukkah, you don't have to go back into the sukkah until it gets light out, until the next morning. So you buy ad sheyeyor with an ayin, meaning until you wake up, Oh, at Sheyeru with an aleph, meaning until it gets light outside. Meaning, what if you wake up in the middle of the night? Do you have to go back in the sukkah? So Tashema, at Sheyeru v'yala amara shachar. Till it gets light, and it's amara shachar. Says more Tarti? Those are two different things. When it gets light, that's after amara shachar. It's not light yet at amara shachar. So Eleima at Sheyeru with an ayin v'yala amara shachar. It means until you wake up, and it's after amara shachar. That when you wake up in the morning, you go back in the sukkah. But you wake up middle of the night, then you don't have to go back in the sukkah. There's some story like that with Rav Soloveitchik when he was a little boy, that his father woke him up to go into the sukkah. He had gone to sleep in the house because it was raining, and his father woke him up to go into the sukkah, and he had a whole back and forth. He said, why don't you do that? It's against the Gemara. You're not supposed to wake me up to go back in the sukkah. I'm supposed to sleep. He said, okay, but now that you're up, you got to go back in the sukkah. He said, no, but he didn't have to wake me up, and it's not a middle shachar yet. There was some back and forth. He was like 9 years old or something. Or, you know, you're saying I'm a katan, and for a katan, it's still mitzvah. He had some sort of argument why he has a katan, even if he is up, he shouldn't have to go back in the sukkah. I don't remember the details of the story. So, mashal ma'adavar domeh. The mashal that the Mishnah gave is that the servant is trying to serve water and the master pours the pitcher on his the servant is trying to serve water and the master pours the pitcher of water on his face. So Ibailu, Mishafach Lemi, who's pouring the ketone on who? Is it the servant on the master or the master on the servant? So Tashima, Titania, Shafachlo, Rabo, Ketone Alpanov. It's the master serving the pouring the pitcher of water on the face of the servant. Va'amarlo, and he's saying, Ef Shibishi Mushach. He's saying, I'm not interested in your service. HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us when it rains on Sukkot that he's not interested in our service. That's the Gemara's resolution of that issue. Now the lashon of the Mishnah may say mutar lifno sounds like there's no iser to stay in the sukkah even if the porridge is getting ruined. It's just that it's mutar lifno. So the Achronim ask, well, wait a second. We learned back on Daf Tesam and Aleph k'shem shachal shem shemayim al chagiga kachal shem shemayim al sukkah and the yatzei sukkah are aser ba'na. So how are you allowed to stay there in the rain? It's providing some shelter. And if it's providing shelter, you're being nene from the Yatzei Sukkah. Shouldn't that be a violation of Mi'ilah? Why don't we find that there's an Isser to be in the Sukkah B'Shas Yiridus G'Shem? Even the Ramah says Nikra Hedyo just because it's Pater Min Adav or Voseyu, but not because you're violating an Isser of being nene from the Yatzei Sukkah. So this is a discussion in the Achronim. In Rav Elchanan, he suggests that while it's raining, it's not a Sukkah. Yeah, Chal Shem Shemayim al Sukkah, but it's only a Sukkah when it could be utilized for the Mitzvah. But if it's not a Mitzvah to stay there, then it's not a sukkah, and it's therefore not a violation of being nena from the sukkah. A lot of Achronim quote the Taz. Taz and Tafresh Lam Chesiv Kan Gimel proves from the fact that it says Kishem Shchal Shem Shemayim Al Chagiga Kachal Shem Shemayim Al Sukkah. It doesn't mean to equate sukkah to Chagiga entirely and to say that a sukkah has Kedush Saguf. It's just that during the 7 days, the sukkah should be like a chag, that you shouldn't take from it to for your own hana'ah. That you shouldn't remove any pieces that are going to cause you to be mevatel the mitzvah. That's all it means. That's the only way it's comparable to chag. But while the sukkah is still standing, there's no isra being nena from it. If you're not ruining it, if it's still standing and still usable for the mitzvah. So according to that Taz, when it's raining, there's no isra hana'a by getting shelter from the sukkah. You're not ruining the sukkah. The sukkah is still going to be usable afterwards. You're not taking apart the sukkah. So if that's the gedder of the isra of k'shem shchal shem shemayim al chagiga kachal shem shemayim al sukkah, then you don't have a kasha. There is a suffix on the Achron raised. Why isn't it baltos? If you stay in the sukkah when it's raining. So some suggest baltosef is only if you do the same maisa bitosefes, meaning you have five parshios in the tefillin where there's no shinoi in the maisa other than the hosafa that you did it. But over here it's a shinoi be'etzem maisa in the yeshiva. The Torah says teshu came to duru, and that means you should have a dira shel hana'a and not a dira shel tsar. So you're doing a fundamentally different act. It's not that you're doing the same thing, just more. That would be baltosef. But over here you're doing something that's fundamentally different. That's how the Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva in Siman Tov Samuk Zayin that's why it's not a violation of Bal Tosif. Says the Gemara Vayter. Now, first wide line. Tan Rabbanu Bizman Shachamaloka. When there is a chamaloka, when there's a solar eclipse or something like that, Siman Ra L'Kol Olam Kula. Then it's a bad sign for the whole world. The Achron raised the issue. Well, how could that be a Siman Ra for the whole world? These are natural phenomena. These things happen. They can predict when they're going going to happen. You know, people get excited. You know, some people get excited about a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, this and that. So how could you say that Chachmei HaTeva know way before it happens? So how could you say that it's a siman ra? So some suggest that it doesn't mean that which comes, a solar eclipse because the moon goes past the sun or something like that, or one of the stars blocks the light of the sun. That in a chinami is a. It means we're talking about sometimes the sun just has or the moon looks differently than it normally does, like that it has like black dots on it, or in the sun or the moon, and that's not tali and cheshbon. So that could be something. I mean, we're describing something else, whatever it might be that we're describing. We're describing something else, not some natural phenomenon. That's how some of the achronim suggest. Other achronim suggest that even though it is a natural thing, but the minhag of the mekatrigim, the teva, is that when you see something in the sun, so then they're misorer to be mekatrig, meaning it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tipping off the mekatrigim up in Shemayim, that they're activated by these natural phenomena, meaning there is a natural, it's not that the natural phenomenon itself is the cause of the tzar, but it's sort of like a shas hakosher for those forces to be able to be mekatrig up in Shemayim under those circumstances. Okay, so anyway, so bizman shecham alok a siman ra lekol olam kulu mashal ma'adavar doma. Why is it a siman ra for the whole world? Lemel pasav adam shas suda la'avadav v'niach panas lefnehem kas aleim var malavdo tol panas b'pnehem v'shim v'choshech. That a melech is making a suuda for his avadim, so he lights up the room nicely. He's making a big suuda, but then he gets upset at them, so he removes the light and he sits them in the dark. So that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu does when the solar eclipse gets dark in the middle of the day. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm taking away the light from you. Tanya, Reb Meir Omer, Kolzman Shema Oros Lok and Simin Ra L'Soneim Shal Yisrael, Mnei Shemulumadin B'Makosehen. It's always a Simin Ra for the Jewish people, Dafka, because we're the ones that always get punished. Mashal L'Sofer Shvala Beis Hasem for Ritzua B'Yado. It's like a teacher walks into the classroom and he's got his Ritzua. They used to hit the children if they weren't learning well. So me Doeg, who's going to be the most worried child? Misha Ragilukos B'Chol Yom Yom Doeg. It's that kid that always gets singled out. That's always the one that's the troublemaker. He's the one that's going to be worried when he sees the teacher walking in. So Klal Yisrael is that kid. Whenever we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, we know that we're gonna take the brunt of it. Tan Rabban Bizman Shacham Aloka Simra Lavdichavim Levan Aloka Simra L'Sonem Shal Yisrael. No, there's a difference between the sun and the moon. When it's the sun that's loka, then it's a Simin Ra. When it's the moon that's loka, then it's a siman ra for the Jewish people, because we at Mipreshei Solman and Milvan of the Chavim Lechama. The Avdei Chavim use a solar calendar, and we use a lunar calendar. Loka b'mizrach, if the eclipse happens on the eastern side of the sky, siman ra liyoshev mizrach. That means those who dwell in the east are in trouble. B'marav, it's on the western side of the sky, siman ra liyoshev marav. Be'em tzarekiyah, if it happens right in the middle of the sky, siman ra l'kol olam kulo. Then it's a siman ra for the entire world. Pan of dom and ladam, if it has a complexion that looks red like blood, cherev bal yolam, then that's a sign that there's going to be cherev in the world. Lasak, if it looks like sackcloth, meaning like a grayish complexion, chitzei rav bal yolam, that's a simon of famine, that people are going to be starving. Lazu ulazu, if it looks both reddish, grayish, cherev vichitzei rav bal yolam, and both of those things are going to happen. Laka b'knisaso, if the eclipse happens when the sun is rising, pranoshoa Lavo. Then it means that the pranas are going to come, but not yet. They're going to come later. B'yitziyaso, if it's when the sun is setting, mimaheres lavo. It means that it's going to come quickly. Just like you try to get things done quickly at the end of the day, because time is running out. So it means the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to cause the pranas to come very quickly. V'yeshorim chilef advarim. And some say what I would have thought is more intuitive is the opposite. That if it's when the sun is rising, it means that it's happening soon, at the beginning. Just like the sun rises at the beginning of the day. It's when the sun is setting, it's saying, no, the pranas are coming, but it's going to wait till the very end, right when the sun is setting. Whenever a nation gets punished, its gods get punished with it. Hashem didn't only punish the Mitzrim, but he punished Elohei Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people do Ritzono Shalmakom, we have nothing to fear. All of these things, these symbols of pranas and everything, yeah, they're true, and it could happen, but there's one response to all of it. The response is, Osim Ritzon Shel Makom. We do the will of the Ribbono Shel, then we don't have to fear. Shenemar Ko Amar Hashem Al Derech Hagoyim Al Talamdu Umei Osos Hashemayim Al Techasu Ki Echasu Hagoyim Mehema. We don't have to fear the Osos Hashemayim. It's the Goyim that have to fear the Osos Hashemayim. Of the Chavim Yichas Ve Nisol Yichasu. Right, that's the lashon of Techas. Yichosu is the lashon of fear. Techatu Yechatu is the lashon of like trembling and trepidation. That's what Aksav HaKabbalah writes, one of my favorite parts in the Aksav HaKabbalah. He says by Makas Choshech that Lo Kam Ish Mitachtav, that it got so dark that no one was able to get up Mitachtav. So how do they translate that? From under him. What do you mean? Get up. You don't get up. Lo kamish. What does mitachtav add? So says, and what does it mean? How dark does it have to be that you can't move? So Chazal have that the dark, it was thick like a certain coin. And what does it mean? It's thick like it's difficult to understand. So the Aksava Kabbalah suggests, the Pashup Shad and Pasuk, is that it's not tachas, it's techas. Mitachtav means from his fear. It's from the lashon of techas, that they were so terrified that the sun didn't rise. You imagine, wake up in the morning, the sun didn't rise. So they were so terrified they couldn't move. They were frozen in fear. There are four things that cause a likoya chama, that cause the sun to have to be eclipsed. Rashi says he doesn't understand why these things are the, you know, that we're about to list are the cause of it. And achronim work on them. Not so clear how you're going to account for all four. But let's see what they are first. Al av beis din shemeis ve'eino nisbet kalacha. If an av beis din dies and they don't have a proper hasbid, so the Av Beis Din in some way is symbolic of the sun, maybe because he lights up the whole world with his Torah. The Gemara Darshan's Maseches Kiddushin and Dafayin Beis and Beis V'zorach Hashem Shuva Hashemesh Ashlo Shaka Shimshu Shal Eli Zorach Shimshu Shal Shmuel Aramasi, that Zorach Hashem Shuva Hashemesh is symbolic of Jewish leadership of Eli HaKohen of Shmuel. So you see that the sun in some way represents the Talmud Chachamim, who are the leaders of the Jewish people. So when you're not nisbet kalacha, so you're showing that you didn't really care so much, that it didn't bother you that the chama wasn't there, that the chama is not shining anymore. So that's why you're going to have a likoy of the chama. That's how they the achronim suggest in the Aruch Lener suggest in explaining at least the first one. The second reason that it happens, while Naram Rasa Shatzaka Biir Ve'in Moshiela, Naram Rasa cries out in the city and no one is there to save. So the Aruch Lener suggests that Bederach Klal, when people are sleeping at night, Naram Russell will cry and no one is going to save her. But Biyom, people will come normally to save her. So over here, no one came to save her. It means that you're treating it like nighttime, meaning at night, no one's there, no one's around. So that's why people commit crimes at night, because people aren't there to stop them. But in broad daylight, something's going to happen. Then other people hopefully will step in and make sure that the crime won't be committed. So we're saying if Naram Russell was stuck of the ear and no one saved her, it means you're treating the whole day like nighttime, and therefore the sun is not gonna shine. Va'al Mishkav Zachar. Mishkav Zachar also relates to the sun, because the Aruch Lener explains, because it's that was one of the averos of the Dor HaMabul, Hishchisu Darkam, and they did things like this. They were so during the Mabul, the sun did not function as normal, and therefore that's the Midah Kenegad Midah. Va'al Shnei Achin Shenishbach Damon Ka'echad, or two brothers who are both killed at the same time. Because the Shemesh and the Yareach are considered like Shnei Achim. The sun and the moon are considered like two brothers, because the Medrash tells us when they were originally created, they were created similar to each other. But then the Niskatna HaYareach, it was the moon that was minimized later on. So when two brothers get killed, so it's the Loka HaShemesh. The Shemesh has become less powerful like the moon, to show how severe of an issue this is. And there are four things that cause the ma'oros not shine like they normally would. Number one, al kosve plaster. So Rashi writes, what does that mean? People who write forged documents, or people who say, write things in other people's names that they never said. Val mi'idei edus sheker, people who issue false testimony. So those are about dishonesty. Val megadle behemadaka beretz, so someone who raises a behemadaka tzedaka in Eretz Yisrael, val kotzei lanus tovos, and someone who cuts down good fruit-bearing trees. So that's an isser in the Torah, to cut down fruit-bearing trees, but that's one of the things that caused this curse to happen as well. That's what the isser in the Torah, the pasuk tells us, lo sashnas es eitza, v'oso lo sichros. So it's, the Sefer Chinuch writes that mitzvah is knowing b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zecharim b'nekevos. You know, I'll let it cut down a fruit-bearing tree. So it's one of the reasons that the ma'oros are lokim is because you cut down fruit-bearing trees. So Rashi writes, we're talking about that even if you own those trees, and the reason for the chumrah of the iser is because you're being destructive, and it's as if you're being boeit in the bracha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to give us a bracha to give us these beautiful trees, and a person saying, no, thank you. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a gift, you're supposed to say thank you very much. You're not supposed to say no thank you to the gifts of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Taz writes, aside from the iser of the Torah of Ashchas Silanos, Ilanos Machel, aside from the Yisra of Baltashlis, there's also an element of Sakana. That's why people get very nervous about this, because there's this element of Sakana. Kia Adam Eitz Hasada, the tree represents a person. Cutting down a tree is like cutting down a person. So that's why there are tshuvas, a lot of tshuvas like this, about when you can and when you can't. You have to do construction, and there's a tree in the way, and there's a shul in Brooklyn, right, that they built it around a tree rather than knock down a tree. They built the whole shul right around the tree. So it's a question whether you really have to do that, but the reason they get so nervous about these things is is because of the sakana issue. There's a discussion, possibly there are a number of heterim, meaning if the tree is more valuable down than it is up, so that's it's not derech hashchasa, so it wouldn't be included in the iser. But anyway, let's see weiter now. B'shvil dal dvar nichsei balibatim nimsar l'malchus. There are four things that cause nichsei balibatim to be given over to the malchus. Al mashi shtaros peruim. If you have shtaros that are already paid up and you're still hanging on to them, that's, you're not allowed to be, the Gemara says that it's that you're not allowed to keep a shtar perua b'soch beso, because the only thing you could do with it is bad. The only thing you could do with it is dishonestly try to collect again. Al sishkon ba'alecha avla, the pasuk says, and the Gemara darshins, it's talking about keeping a shtar perua b'soch beso. Val madlid v'ribis, people who lend money with interest. Val shayasipik b'yadim limchos v'lo michu, people who have the ability to make a macha'a against Averos, and they didn't. Val shaposkim tzedakah b'rabim, they didn't know. Some people who commit to giving tzedakah publicly and then they don't follow through on that commitment. So that's also considered to be a terrible thing that causes a person to lose his money. You'd imagine that there is a certain mida keneged mida in that as well, meaning if a person claims that he's going to use his money for the good, and then he chooses not to use it, then he doesn't follow through. He chooses not to use the money for the good. So that's also something that that caused him to lose his money. Why does it matter if he was noda barabim or not, or if he did it biyachid? Also, why dafka poskets dafka? Just say noda vein mashlimim. So some of the achronim suggest that a dafka says such a case because there are two ra'os over here. Number one, you're noda vein mashalim, and you're over on the isur neder. And the second is that you're gorim nezek to other people, because poskets dafka barabim is when you see that when the kal sees that there's a tzarech to collect a particular amount for tzedakah, so all the Ashirim get together and people step up and they contribute to that tzedakah, but they're relying on you, meaning they need to collect that amount of money to fulfill that communal need. So you're causing that communal need not to be fulfilled as well. So that's why it's an extra ra'ah, not just not fulfilling a pledge that a person made. For four things, people's money is going to be yotzei l'timyon. It's not going to be taken by the malchus, it's just going to be slowly lost. If a person delays in paying his workers, val oshke schar sachir, if he just doesn't pay his workers, val shopark and all mitzavrein, v'nos al chavrein, a person shirks responsibility and always points a finger to other people, val gasus haruach, and a person who's arrogant, v'gasus haruach k'neged kulam, that's the worst of all of them, aval ba'anavim k'siv, but if a person is humble, we always want to end the parak on a happier note, v'anavim yeshuar tzvizan gal rov shalom, that humble people, oh, they're going to have the best, they're going to be yorei sha'aretz, they're going to enjoy Rov Shalom, and there's Ein Kli Machzik Bracha like Shalom, so they're going to have the greatest bracha in the world. Okay, Hadron Lachiyashin, now we begin the third parak of Masechta Sukkah. Lulav HaGazal Liyavish Pasul. If a person has a stolen or dried out lulav, it is pasul. Rashi writes, why is a dried out lulav pasul? To be in a mitzvah muderes tuchsiv van vehu. Pasuk says van vehu, you're supposed to have a nice lulav. Tosfos points out that's a little bit difficult because back on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, we said that yes, there is an inyan of hidr mitzvah, but hidr mitzvah is not ma'akev. The Gemara wanted to know which shita would hold that mitzvah la'ogdo, that there's a mitzvah to do an egid on a lulav, but if you're eno ogdo, it's kasher. So Gemara says that's not if you hold lulav tzarech egid, then it would be pasul. So it must be that we're following the idea that it's a mitzvah la'ogdo because it's ekeli van vehu. But that's only a din l'chadchila. That would not be a din that would pasul b'di'evet. So Tosfos says no, it's not about van vehu. It's about a special din. You need hadar by a lulav. So if you have a lulav that's either stolen or yavesh, it is pasul. Shel asher v'shel erindachas, a lulav made from an asher that comes from an asher tree or from an erindachas where it has to be burnt, has to be destroyed, pasul. Niktam rosho nifritzu alav, pasul. If the top of the lulav is cut off or the leaves are dispersed, it's pasul. Nifridu alav kasher. If the leaves are they're attached at the bottom, but they're going in different directions at the top, then it's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yagdenu Milamala. Rabbi Yehuda says you should tie them together, bind them together on the top. Tzinei Ar Barzel Ksherus. Lulavim from Ar Barzel are going to be kasher. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosh tefachim kedei l'naneya bo kasher. And a lulav that has three tefachim in order that one should be able to do the nanuim, that's going to be kasher. So the Gemara is going to explain all of those phrases and go into great detail on all of these items that we just mentioned of what's kasher and what's pasul in a lulav, which Bez Hashem we will continue with the Gemara tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.